You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you all out this Sunday evening. It's a little wet and rainy out there, but still a great Sunday to gather together. And I'm really excited because today, as has already been mentioned, and like we mentioned last week, we're starting a brand new series going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I've been really excited for this series, to go through this book together. And it's not up on the screen right now, but the title of this series, what we're calling it, is Gospel Lens. And I want you to sort of keep that title in the back of your mind. I think it's such a fitting title for this book, for this series, and we're going to come back to why that is in a little bit. But right off the bat, I love the book of 1 Corinthians. I think it's such a great book. Not necessarily an easy one to read. You'll see as we go through, there are some passages that can be kind of challenging to work through, kind of challenging to understand. But it's a book that I think is so applicable for us here in Toronto, and I think it really speaks to a lot of the culture that we find ourselves in right now. But as we get started, just beginning off in this series, I want to start with giving you a bit of the background and context for the book as a whole, so that we can understand more of who Paul is writing this letter to and why it is he's writing it. Because I think understanding that, the context of 1 Corinthians, is really important for understanding the message of the book as a whole. So during Paul's missionary journeys, that are recorded in the book of Acts, we read in Acts chapter 18 of Paul's visit to the city of Corinth and the church that he established there. And the city of Corinth itself was not necessarily a good place. Like this was not necessarily what you would think of as a really good or wholesome city. On the one hand, it was sort of like a cultural and commercial hub of the Mediterranean world. It was right on the water. There was a lot of ports. There was a lot of commercial trade that went in and out of that city. So it had that going for it. But on the other hand, this was a city that was infamous for incredible immoral living. Like it was well known for that. And that was true to the point where to describe someone as being Corinthian, if you were to describe someone that way, it was actually quite an insult, because essentially what you're saying to them is you're an incredibly immoral person. Like, that was not a compliment. You did not want to be described as Corinthian. So it wasn't really a great place. This was the kind of city that if you were a church planter looking at where you would want to put a church, like, this is the kind of city that would have you shaking in your boots. Like, you wouldn't think that a church... church here. And he lived in Corinth with the people there for about a year and a half, helping to sort of get this church going, get it established, and teaching the people before he moved on and continued his journey. But after Paul left the church in Corinth, after he had been gone for a little while, he started to get reports from people coming from Corinth about how the church was doing there. And essentially, the church was not doing very well. There was a lot of different issues that had begun to pop up, things that had started to go wrong. And so this letter, 1 Corinthians, it's one of four, actually, that Paul wrote to the church. But really the purpose of the letter is for him to really address some of those issues that had begun to come up. He's trying to reorient the church in a way, address these various issues and help the church to understand how the gospel impacts every area of their life. And that's one of the reasons that I think this title of Gospel Lens is so appropriate for this series. You know, I wear these glasses. Elaine says it's because I'm as blind as a bat. I tend to disagree. I don't think my vision's that bad, but I do need them to see. If you ever see me without them, it usually means I'm wearing contacts, because if I take them off, my vision is incredibly blurry. Like, looking out, beyond the first row, I could probably not tell you who is sitting where. You're all just kind of human-shaped blurs of color to me at the moment. Without my glasses, my vision is incredibly blurry. I can't even see really my notes. And in a way, I think that's kind of what had begun to happen to the church in Corinth after Paul had left and had moved on. Because of just the pressure and the influence of the culture around them, their vision was beginning to be blurred. They weren't really able to see things clearly. And so when these issues did come up, they weren't really able to see them very clearly or understand how to make sense of them. And so that is what has sort of prompted Paul writing this letter. And it's essentially as if he's giving the church in Corinth a pair of glasses. And he's saying, here, put these on, and we're going to look at these issues, these problems that are happening through the lens of the gospel, to see how the truth about Jesus Christ is going to clarify and change the way that you view each of these areas in your life. And so as we go through, you'll see Paul's rebuking the church in a number of different areas, in a number of different ways, but always steering them back to the gospel to see how your life is changed when you understand it through the lens of the gospel. So that's kind of the setup for this series, the setup for the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm hoping that as we work through this book together, we're going to be spending a lot of time in 1 Corinthians. And I hope that as we do, we're going to see how really Paul's words in this letter are so relevant and are so important for us here at Liberty Grace and in Toronto, living in a culture that I would say has a lot of similarities to the type of culture that you would find in Corinth. Maybe not exactly the same, but not quite as far off as we might like to think. And so as we start out this series, we're just going to be looking at the first 9 verses, which are Paul's opening words of this letter, his introduction. And this first section, really, it's split into 2 different parts where Paul's giving the church 2 important reminders. And both of these things that he's reminding them of are going to really set the stage for what he's going to talk about as the book goes on. And sort of what he's teaching right off the bat in these first 9 verses is what we need, what the church needs in order to remain faithful to God in the midst of a hostile and immoral culture. So essentially, he's looking at this church that he started, spent 1.5 years of his life getting going, and he's looking at it sort of going off the rails and thinking, all right, we need to go back to square one here. Like, we need to take things back to square one. So he starts by bringing them back to the basics of the gospel with these first 2 reminders. And the first one, it's primarily in verses 1-3. And verse 1 starts out the book with these words: Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. And so this was pretty normal of Paul's letters to kind of open them in a way similar to this. If you look through all the letters he wrote in the New Testament, you'll see the first verse is usually pretty similar to that. But his goal here, specifically in Corinth, is he's reminding them in that first verse that he is called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Specifically, he is called by God to be a messenger of Christ to the church. And he's doing that to reestablish his credentials, sort of reestablish his authority, so that the church knows to take him seriously in what he's about to tell them. Again, some of it's going to be kind of difficult, but he's not just pulling these things out of thin air. They need to take this letter seriously. But you look at it, he actually cuts his introduction of himself a little bit short compared to what you would find in maybe some of his other letters. Rather than take more time to elaborate on what Christ has done in his life and introduce himself a little more fully, he starts there quickly reminding them that he is an apostle, called by God to be an apostle, and then he moves on to focus on something a little bit different. Look at what verse 2 says. It says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And so in this second verse, Paul's not really introducing himself anymore to the church. It's almost as if he's actually introducing the church to themselves. His goal isn't to talk more about who he is. He wants to remind them of who they are. That they are the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints together. He's reminding them of their identity in Christ. And as he does that in this verse, there's really a large focus on the idea of the community that they have been called into as the church, the community that they're now a part of through Christ. Because in Corinth, the church there, it existed in a brutally difficult context. Again, that is not a place where you would think a church would survive. And they would have been bombarded every single day by the immorality of the culture around them. And they would have faced constant pressure to give in, to compromise, and start living the way that the world around them was telling them that they should. For the church there to live faithfully to the gospel, to live faithfully for Christ, was going to make them stick out like a sore thumb in Corinth. And sometimes in a really uncomfortable way. And we know that the church over time, they'd begun to give in to some of this pressure, and they'd begun to compromise in a number of areas, because that's the reason that Paul is writing to them, is because of these compromises, to address these issues. And so he starts here reminding them of who they are, that they are the church of God, that they are sanctified in Christ and called to be saints. They've been called to be set apart. They've been called to be different from the world and the culture around them. That's what it means when he says that they've been sanctified in Christ. Stick out and to be different from the people around them was a good thing. It's what they were called to be. But he takes that idea a step further than that when he says that they're called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's reminding the church there that they're not just some random isolated group of people down in Corinth, all alone and different from everyone else. They're not just this random group of weirdos. And I'm sure for the church, it probably felt like that on more than one occasion. But in this verse, what Paul does is he really pulls them out of their immediate context, out of the city of Corinth, which was proving to be so difficult. And he's placing them in a different context. He's placing the church in Corinth in the context of the larger church as a whole. He's telling them that they're not alone, but they're part of this larger group of believers that are unified by Christ with people all over the world. And I think this is such an important reminder for a church that is struggling in a difficult context. William Barclay writes that Christians are called into a community whose boundaries include all of earth and all of heaven. It would be greatly to our good if sometimes we lifted our eyes beyond our own little circle and thought of ourselves as part of the church of God, which is as wide as the world. I think that's such an encouraging reminder for us, isn't it? Like our culture can be so discouraging and it can be so overwhelming. It can be difficult to feel like we're always facing some kind of pressure from the world around us to live their way rather than to live God's way. You know, whether that pressure is coming from friends or from family or from coworkers or even just from turning on the news, watching your TV, going on social media, like it is everywhere and it is exhausting to feel like we're just kind of the odd ones out. But Paul is giving such a great reminder here that we are not alone in this. Like as we're facing a difficult and challenging context, we're not alone in that. And I think that's one of the reasons that it is really important to be connected to a local church and to be deeply connected to a local church. Like the Christian life is not something that we're meant to do isolated and alone. Like this is a team sport. In the midst of a discouraging culture, it's so encouraging to remember we're not alone in this. Like if you're in a spot today where you're feeling really discouraged by the world around you, like when we're singing and worshiping together, just look around and know that you're not alone. Even as a who in every place call on the name of the Lord. And as he's telling them this, he's also setting up for them the first issue that he really wants to tackle and to work through with them. And we're going to look at that over the next couple of weeks as we dive more into the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. But the first issue that Paul addresses here is divisions that were happening in the church. And so he's reminding them here that they are united by Christ as part of the church together. So essentially, don't start turning guns on one another, especially over things that don't matter. And he hammers that idea home at the end of verse 2 when he refers to Jesus Christ as both their Lord and ours. And for those who've trusted in Christ, no matter who you are, we have one thing in common. If nothing else, we are united in Christ. He returns to that idea again at the end of this passage in verse 9 when he says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As a church, we have been called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, and into this larger community together with all those who in every place call on his name. And the fact that we've been called into this great fellowship, this great community, also implies that we've been called out of something, specifically out of the culture that we're living in, out of the sinful kind of lifestyle that would have defined a city like Corinth. Again, Paul's reminding them here that the church is called to be distinct and different from the world around them. And the same is true for you and I here today. And so who are we in Christ? We're those who are sanctified in Christ and called to be saints together with everyone who calls on his name. And then in verse 3, Paul writes these words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is a typical line that you would see in a lot of Paul's greetings to the various churches that he wrote to. And you can see just in these first three verses how important the introductions are for these letters. Like, you can't skip over these introductions. You see just how much Paul is getting across to this struggling church in a few sentences. And so now that he's reminded them of who they are in Christ, he moves on to the second reminder that he has for them in verses 4 to 9, which is to remind the church of what Christ has done for them, why it is they're so different, how that happened, what Christ has done for them. And he begins in verse 4 saying, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. He begins with this great expression of thanksgiving for what God has done for the church and the grace that he has shown. I think for a lot of us to feel so different from the culture around us and the people that we interact with, it can feel really heavy some days, and we get tired. There are days that we kind of just wish that we could fit in. But as Paul talks about what God has done for the church, how much has been done for us in Christ, you see that it is entirely a gift that we have been given. The fact that we are different from the culture around us is a gift that we are given through Christ. And he's thankful to God for the grace that he has shown. And that should be our attitude towards the gospel, to be so thankful for the great gift that we've been given. And it makes it clear here that this is not a gift that comes from ourselves. This is not something that happens because we work really hard for it. Like in this verse, he is not thankful for the efforts of the church in Corinth. As you go through the book, you'll see the opposite is true in a lot of cases. He's not thankful for their effort. He's thankful for the grace that God has given to the church. And he continues in the remaining verses to sort of elaborate a little more on exactly what that gift is and what Christ has done for them. He says that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the world around us can offer so many things. Everything is designed to offer us this idea of the good life, and it can look really tempting and enticing some days. You know, people say that we're missing out on so much because we live differently, and we're missing out on what it really means to experience life for one reason or for another. And Paul's encouragement and reminder for the church here is about the great gift that they've already been given in Christ, which is greater than anything that the world can or will ever offer. Look what he says. You were enriched in all speech and knowledge. You're not lacking in any gift, and Christ will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, what could possibly be better than that? He mentions there the testimony about Christ that was confirmed among them. And what he's referring to there is the testimony of the death and the resurrection of our Lord. That he died to take the punishment for our sins, that we could have a relationship with God. And because of that gift, we have this fellowship with him, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, you look at some of the things that he talks about there, the gifts that have been made available through the gospel and through the Spirit. He talks about the church being enriched in all speech and knowledge, that they're not lacking in any gift. Some of those things that he's talking about were actually, again, some of the sources of the issues that he was writing to address. They were some of the things that were beginning to cause division and issues within the church. And so again, here at the beginning, he's reminding the people that they have this great gift that's been given to them by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So just like Paul does in this passage, they should be praising God, giving thanks for these gifts that have been made available to them in Christ, rather than seeing these as things to cause division in the church. And as he talks about this great gift, he also includes in there a call to perseverance for the church in the face of this opposing, almost suffocating culture that's surrounding them, encouraging them that because of what Christ has done for them in the gospel, he will sustain them to the end. And again, the focus in that is not on our own ability to persevere in the midst of a difficult situation or a difficult culture. The focus, once again, is on God's grace and faithfulness through Christ, that he will be the one to sustain us in the midst of a difficult culture. And again, verse 9, it reminds us of that same truth, that we've been called into fellowship with Christ Jesus because of the faithfulness of God. Nothing that the world will ever offer us can be greater than that gift of the gospel through Jesus Christ. So don't exchange the truth of the gospel with the empty promises of the world. Because they are empty promises, every single one of them. There's nothing out there, there's nothing that the culture or the world around us can promise you that ultimately will fulfill or will sustain you. Only Christ will, so don't exchange truth for a lie. Now, at the, at the end of this passage, I want to go back just to something I said right at the beginning, that Paul's goal in this passage is to take the church back to the basics. I want to clarify that, because when I say that, I don't mean in any way that what Paul talks about in this passage is something that's mundane or boring that you kind of have to go through in order to get to the really good stuff. Like, that's not what that means, because the gospel is anything but that. But on the other hand, what Paul says here is basic, in that it is essential and foundational for the entire Christian life. You know, it's the base that our entire life needs to be built on, who we are in Christ and what he's done for us. And that needs to be understood first, because if you miss that, the rest of the Christian life, it makes no sense. You can't understand or see how the gospel impacts and transforms every area of your life if you miss these fundamental truths about what the gospel is. And that's why Paul had to start here. That's why he had to bring the church in Corinth first to this point of these reminders. He even tells them later, at the beginning of chapter 3, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not yet ready." He understood where the church was at, and he understood that this essential foundation needed to be further developed for the church in Corinth before they were really ready to understand how this message was going to impact the rest of their life, because it does impact every part of life. The gospel changes and transforms everything. And that brings us back full circle now to the title of the series as a whole, which again I think is so fitting, this gospel lens. Because if we're looking at this book, at 1 Corinthians, as showing us how to view life through the lens of the gospel. In these first 9 verses, it's like Paul is giving us the lens itself. He's bringing us back to the basics. He's reminding us of the fundamentals of what the gospel is and why it is so important. And again, that doesn't mean that once you've learned this, you can just sort of move on and forget it and go focus on other things, because this gospel lens that Paul gives to the church is a lens that is just as important for the person who's been a Christian for 50 years as it is for the person who just became a Christian yesterday. It is the basic, the fundamental and foundational truth of Christianity that our entire life needs to be built on. Because when we remove that lens of the gospel, when we stop looking at life through the lens of the gospel, when we exchange it for another one, like the lens that our world or our culture offers to us, just like the church in Corinth had done, then we're going to find ourselves running into all kinds of problems. Because the church or the world around you is going to promise that they're going to give you a similar kind of lens to clearly view life, but really it ends up being more like a kaleidoscope. It makes things so much worse. The only way that we can truly understand life and see things clearly is through the lens of the gospel. I said at the beginning that Paul's goal was in these first few verses to teach us how we're supposed to remain faithful to God in the midst of an immoral and a hostile culture. And that's it. In order to remain faithful to him in a hostile and an immoral culture, our lives have to be built on the basic truth of who we are in Christ and what he's done for us. And so let's pray that would be true of us. As we go through this series, as we look more at Paul's words in this book, that God would help us to understand more of how this amazing message of the gospel impacts and fully transforms every area of our lives. And let's give thanks to him for the grace that we've been given through Christ Jesus, that we have been set apart and called to be saints together with anyone from anywhere who calls on his name. Lord, I thank you so much for the reminders that we find in this passage. And Lord, I thank you for the truth of these verses of who we are in you, Lord, and what you've done for us. And God, I do pray that as we work through 1 Corinthians, as we work through some of the really messy challenges that was facing the church there, that, Lord, you would teach us how the message of your Son truly changes the way that we see every area of life. God, that you would open our eyes to see how our lives are changed through the gospel. And Lord, that we would live as those who are set apart. Lord, who have been called into fellowship with you, called to belong to you because of the grace that you have given. And Lord, I pray that our lives individually and the life of our church, Liberty Grace, would be lived for your glory and for your honor. We pray this in your name. Amen.